Praise God. Just love the Lord this morning. Hope everyone's doing well. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. And such an exciting, beautiful morning the Lord's given us. Beautiful weekend. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Ask y'all to stand if you can. Just want to lift the Lord up. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but when I hear that song or when we sing it, it's so special to me in my heart. Because the song to me personally, or the phrase, and to understand that we're standing on holy ground, that the Lord God is so great that no matter where we are and what circumstances, that He's with us.
Amen.
And He's within us. And then we sing that, it's almost like it makes you just want to me personally, I'm just using my experience, it's shut off everything. And that's what we do at the beginning of our service. We ask you to shut off all your devices, all your mind, everything going on. There'll still be plenty of time. Lord will give us plenty of time, but we'll let this time go to Him. Amen. And then we're in His presence. That it's just not here. It's not this corporate building. But it's anywhere that we are. Don't let the distractions come against us so hard that we can't hear His voice. We can't find that peace in Him. No matter how many, and we studied a little about Elijah this morning in Sunday school here, and you think about it, he went against 450 false prophets as they were trying everything they could to get their gods to burn up a sacrifice. And he stood, not in his name, but in the power of God. If you read that scripture closely, he never took credit for anything. He said, let them know that you sent me. Let them know that you're God. And he told all the people, come close, come close. That same faith we have this morning. His name is Connie. So good to see you others. So good to see each and every person here this morning. I know I'll miss somebody. And I'm going to make y'all stand long. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. But I want you to know as this service opens this morning and as every day that the Lord gives us another day, that we're in His presence and that we should praise and worship Him in our voice, in our actions, in everything that we do. Praise God. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you this morning. Lord, we praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather together this morning. Lord, as we see more faces coming in that we love and have missed dearly, but we know you've taken care of us, dear Lord, and we know there's still those that are sick, those that are shut in for whatever reason, those that aren't able to be with us, whether in nursing homes, assisted livings, in the hospital, or recovery, or they're in preparation for something medical or physical. Know that you are our mighty God, dear Lord, and we thank you for each and every one. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this beautiful morning you've given us as we prepare to hear your word, dear Lord, to be strengthened and encouraged by you. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. Lord, we just love and praise you. Lord, thank you for letting us feel your presence. Thank you for letting us feel your presence, dear Lord. We just love and praise you. Lord, you see those hands that are raised, dear Lord. You know the depths of our hearts. You hear our cries, dear Lord. We know that you are the great provider, the great healer, the great creator, dear Lord. And we ask you just to take each and every situation, and Lord, and place it in your hands. And the Lord, ask you to intercede in your name, Jesus. Not in our prayer, but in your name, Lord. Lord, we're placing it in you. And we're giving you all the honor and glory. Lord, thank you for our visitors this morning. And, Lord, now as we prepare for this service, Lord, we release it to you. Release it. And, Lord, we ask you just, Lord, in just your precious name, Jesus. And everyone says, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. Here's a song I love to sing. Turn to page 6. I want to know more about my Lord. Need all y'all to help. Amen. Want to know more about Jesus.
Turn back for some tomorrow. My
Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You, dear Lord, as we just lift up and praise You, my Lord, in Jesus' name. You may be seated if you can. Oh, it's so good to see folks coming in still this morning. Just praise God. We're going to go ahead and get ready and take up our morning offering. I know I get a little carried away up here sometimes. Just love the Lord this morning. Just as we have been mentioning different ministries, we want to mention we did the food closet, our Overcomers Outreach, out of Bell Circle. And this week it's going to be Band of Brothers. For all you men, we're going to have our monthly meeting. It'll be this Tuesday night. And I've got some people asking. And to make it a little easier, we're going to meet in the Children's Church Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We'd love to have guys. There's nothing to it. Just come as you are. And it's just an opportunity we have to gather together in the Lord, name of the Lord. Praise God. So Band of Brothers will be this Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in the Children's Church. So we're looking forward to that. Also, are there any other announcements need to go forth? I don't have anything. Sounds great. Choir's practicing today at 5 o'clock. We're getting back at it. The ministries are so busy right now. There's so many. Just keep them in your prayer from the food closet. Ladies groups, every one of them, we're going to get around to each and every one. Just praise God. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please?
Dear Lord, we thank You all for another opportunity in your house, Lord. We thank You all for the Spirit that filled this morning, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We praise You, Lord, for the opportunity to have all of our friends and brothers here with us today, Lord, on this day that You give us. Bless us, bless all those who are not able to be here, Lord. Bless us, bless this offering for the fruit of our work. Bless those that have to give, especially those who don't. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Sing with us, y'all know these songs.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances, things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my visions. That's when my frustrations get so out of hand. Oh, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. I look at all my victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill standing.
take you through the fire again.
Amen. Come on, he'll show up. Come on, he'll show up. Glory to God. Just when you think you can't take another step, he'll show up. Just when you think you've all you can stand, you can't stand anymore. Amen. He'll show up. Take you through the fire. Can I get a testimony this morning? Can I get a witness this morning? Has he ever brought you through the fire? Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Real glory. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Just hope you have a wonderful and glorious day. Amen. Special recognition to all of our fathers today. Amen. All our fathers, just kind of give us a wave this morning. Yeah. Give them a hand. Amen. I'm so thankful. Amen. For our parents, thankful for our godly fathers. If you ever needed, amen, godly parents, it's the day and hour that you and I are living in. And we need to be thankful that we are blessed to be able to have those wonderful parents. God bless you this morning. We just want to get right into the Word of the Lord. Again, it's good to see each and every one of you. Just love you from the depths of our heart. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of St. Mark. In the 8th chapter of the book of St. Mark, the writings, the words of Christ, beginning with verse number 34. Again, reading from the book of St. Mark, chapter number 8, beginning with verse number 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall a man, or what shall it profit a man, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your mercy, for your grace, God, for your abundant love. Thankful for this day that you have given us, this opportunity and the desire, God, to come together in one mind and one accord. We pray, God, for this congregation this morning. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit, God, would rain down upon us. Father, we do remember those who are suffering today. Many are sick and afflicted. Father, we ask that you reach out to each and every one, God, with your healing mercy and your healing hand. Ask you now, Lord, to anoint these lips of clay, God, anoint this vessel, God, that you might speak to our hearts, God, that we might be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we'll look to you to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. One more hand clap for Jesus. You may be seated. Praise God. This morning, I want to bring a message from this passage of Scripture entitled, Following Jesus. Following Jesus. This week has been an extraordinary time, especially just to reminisce, certainly in thinking about the past and the history and the wonderful things that we were able to enjoy with our dad. And I was recalling this week some of the very last words that I heard my dad say on this earth was in the form of a prayer. And he was praying very often when he was in his sickest stage. But rather than hearing grumbling or complaining or moaning or any type of discomfort, some of the last audible words that I heard my dad utter was a prayer of thanksgiving unto God. And I thought, how wonderful that is, be able to close your eyes in this life, amen, with the last thing on your heart and on your mind was a prayer to our Lord and Savior. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the mentorship that my dad gave to me. I appreciate his compassion for serving Christ. But the point is that once he started the race, he started the race to endure unto the end. And that's been playing a big part on my life this week as I began to prepare and pray for this message. And I thought about the commitment to following Jesus. This particular passage of Scripture meant so very much that three of the Gospels also printed it or had it in their writings. It's also found in Matthew 16:24 and also in the book of Luke 9:23. We understand that many people followed Jesus, but understand all were not followers of Jesus. Many followed Him for the benefits of healing, the benefits of being fed, just the benefits of seeing miracles. But when it got down to it, and when Jesus began to share with His disciples the thing, His destiny that was coming His way, then many, many people were not there to support Him. We find just preceding this passage of Scripture where Jesus calls the people in and His disciples, and He begins to share. And this is a very serious matter that Christ is talking about here when He's talking about being a follower of Christ. I want you to notice just prior to this, He's talking about His death. He said He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And He spake that saying openly, and Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him. But when He had turned about and looked on His disciples, He rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Probably you would get several arguments about Peter being one of the most devout of the disciples and followers of Christ. But yet in a moment of doubt, in a moment of his will, in a moment of not wanting or realizing what the will of the Son of God was, he interjected his ideas and his thoughts and was quickly rebuked by Jesus himself. It didn't mean that Jesus didn't love him, didn't mean that Jesus didn't desire him to be a follower, but he rebuked the confrontation that Peter had. And even so much so to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, sometimes it's very difficult to understand the mindset of God and His plan of action. But we know when Jesus was telling them, it must needs be that I die and that I go away. If I don't, the Comforter won't come. And anyone who tried to defer that or change his destiny or change his mission became a stumbling block in the will of God. Now, notice, He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Referring to Peter's accusation or to Peter's thought process. I want to take you to another time and place where Jesus is with His disciples praying in the garden. After the Last Supper and after He had spoken to Judas and said, "Whatever you do, do it now. Go on," and in other words, do it quickly. And we find that Judas approaches Jesus in the garden. And as he has this group of this band of people that are coming with him to apprehend Jesus, I want you to notice the terminology that Jesus uses. He said, "Friend, why comest thou?" Now, you would probably get a great conversation if you would say, who was the most devout follower of Christ, Judas or Peter? Probably without fail, every one of us would say, well, Peter was. But you understand that Jesus knew that Judas was going to come and deny Him. He was going to betray Him. And He called him friend. Why? Because Judas was part of the mission of Christ. It's one thing to say, "I'm going to follow Jesus." But it's another thing to say, "I'm going to follow Jesus to the end, no matter what. No matter what befalls me on this earth. No matter what type of tribulation I have to face. No matter how many fires I must go through. No matter how many situations may arise in my life. I started out to follow Christ. I started out to win the race." Amen. I'm not giving up. I'm not going back. I'm not turning
turning back, amen, because it doesn't suit with my pleasures or it doesn't fit my ideals or my goals, because I didn't follow Christ, amen, just so that I could benefit. I followed Christ so that I could have a home in glory, amen, that where He is, I may be also. Praise God. Carrying the cross during Roman times. You know, many, many times we look at this and we say we all have a cross to bear. Let's don't get that mixed up with the cross that Jesus was talking about. Certainly we all have burdens to bear. We have things in our life. I was talking to my grandson the other day, and he was talking about, I heard it in Sunday school or children's church. Thank God for Sunday school and children's church. And he was talking about in Paul's life, the thorn that he must bear. And we had a good little conversation about that. And he was wondering if there was things in his life that he was not going to be able to get victory over. And I said, well, son, we're going to always have burdens. We're going to always have troubles and trials, but greater is He that is within us, and He will support us and help us through these trying times. But it's very different than the cross that we bear. Understand that in Roman times, and when the authority of the Romans was there, their crucifixion was their type of punishment, and it was really, really painful and humiliating to have to pick up that cross that you knew that you was going to die on and carry it to that place like Jesus did. It was very stressful, again, painful and humiliating, and it meant certain death. But Jesus used this analogy to them, and He said, if you're going to follow Me, then you must be able to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Me. In other words, being willing to die in order to follow Jesus. Now, many of the disciples lost their life because they were committed to following Christ. A lot of those people who said, I will never leave Him, a lot of those people said, I'll follow You even to the end, amen, when it got serious and when death and life, amen, began to be intermingled there, they decided, no, I'll just go my own way. Can I tell you I'm concerned about the nation today? Can I tell you I'm concerned about the church world today? Amen. Now is the time that we are going to have to be dedicated. We're going to have to be committed. We're going to have to put the will of the Lord above our will. Amen. We may be in for even more trying times than what we've just gone through. And somebody might say, Brother Eddie, don't tell me about that. Tell me about the grace and the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. It's all there together. But the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we're going to have an easy road down here. Those that are committed, those that says, I will follow Christ no matter what, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Those are the ones that's going to have to rise up and carry the church and be those that, amen, those steadfast, unmovable warriors of faith during this time of trial and tribulation. Being willing to die in order to follow Jesus, basically dying to self or selfish desires. Absolute surrender. All of these things denote a life of commitment unto Christ. Many followers of Jesus were not able to put to death their own ideas, neither their desires, or exchange them for His. In a nutshell, it was all right to follow Jesus when He broke the fishes and the five loaves and fed the 5,000. It was good to follow Jesus when He came down off of the mountain and He began to mingle with the multitude, and He began to heal and touch all of those who were afflicted in different diseases and all. But when it came time, amen, to carry the cross up the hill of Golgotha, it was such a lonely, lonely journey to the top of that hill. I would imagine Jesus looked around to see where were His followers, and most of the devout people then, even Peter himself, denied the Lord not once but three times, who said, Lord, I'll never deny You. It takes commitment. It takes something, amen, beyond our feelings. We have to be dedicated and committed to the Lord. I hope and pray that I too, no matter what I face, And on my deathbed, I too hope the last things out of my mouth are a praise and worship or a prayer unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Not how hard it is or how hard it's been or how difficult the road may be, but I want to love Him and praise Him and let Him know, Lord, I will follow You no matter what. You know, we have been very, very blessed in our life to be able to congregate, to be able to profess our religious beliefs and be able to witness and testify. But folks, have you seen how things have changed in the last 3 to 4 months? Amen. Many, many people, amen, who are not dedicated. Many, many people who are not following Christ, amen, for His will to be done. Only following Christ, I'm so afraid, are going to be able to fall by the wayside. Why? Because of peer pressure. Because of the things, amen, that are coming on this world. When you have to make a decision, am I going to eat or am I going to follow Christ, amen. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're going to choose to follow Christ. May not be an easy road. I do not want to be a prophet of doom. I don't want to preach gloom and all of that, because we're going to be winners. We say that all the time. God has something great in store for those who will be true. The army of Christ has got to rise up. We've got to realize that the most important thing in our life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Though I lose everything around me, those things are not near and dear to me as my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is. I must be a follower of Christ. Jesus tells us in the book of Luke 9th chapter, verse number 57. I want to share with you that it takes more than good intentions. I want to preach to you this morning that it takes more than just wanting to follow Christ. You have to follow Christ. In the good times and the bad times, the darkest hours, the greatest times, whatever it is, nothing needs to interfere with our walk with the Lord. But here in Luke 9, beginning with verse number 57, three different people were willing to follow Christ, but not completely persuaded. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, now, when Jesus answered, He didn't just answer in a general term. He looked and He discerned who He was talking to, who He was speaking to. And He probably saw what was more important in this person's life. And He says, wait a minute, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. In other words, if you're going to follow Me, you're going to have to forsake home, you're going to have to forsake all of these other things and be willing to follow Me. There's no telling where the plan of God will take me. In the Bible, sometimes what is not said is what is so interesting and understanding, because we understand that the person didn't say, okay, Lord, I'll follow You no matter what. But there was a silence there. When he decided that there was nowhere to call home, there was nowhere to lay his head, there was no rest for the weary, he kind of fades into the sunset. Because he wanted to follow Christ, but he was not willing to make the sacrifice. He was not willing to be fully persuaded. And he said unto another, follow Me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first. This is the key word in this particular passage of Scripture. To go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. It looks like that Jesus is not a compassionate person. But that's not his point. He said, I understand these things, but you, if you decide to follow Me, you've got to put Me first in your life. I will not be second, third, or just merely in the top 10. That's the reason the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And how many knows these other things will be added unto us? The Lord doesn't expect us not to be able to provide in this world, but He tells us that we must first follow Him. Folks, it's going to take some dedicated Christians to follow the Lord in these next few months, years, days, whatever we're facing. And again, I'm not trying to make it a sad situation. I'm just trying to warn us. Amen. Do you know we're living in a day and an hour when it's not popular to follow Christ? It's not politically correct. Amen. How many of us are going to be swayed by the popular opinion? How many of us are going to be swayed by what people are doing? If they come in and they point something at us and tell us, you either deny Christ or you suffer the consequences. Where will the followers of Christ then be? Will we stand up like we had the freedom here this morning and proclaim that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior of my life? Or will we share or fade away into the shadows and hunker in fear, as Peter, the most devout of the disciples, said, I don't know him. And he cursed and said, I don't know him. Tell me peer pressure is not real. It's very, very real. But to the true follower, hallelujah, to the true follower. Is anybody hearing the word this morning? To the true follower, that one that's not in following Christ just for the benefits, not just following Christ just for the healing, but they have made up their mind, I will follow Christ whithersoever thou goest, even unto the very end. I will remain true. I will remain faithful to following Christ. Then he said, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home and my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. It's a very serious matter. Very serious matter. I remember when I was praying and seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I was making promises unto at the altar, and you know, somebody reminded me later on, you better be careful what you promise the Lord. How many knows that God is not a covenant breaker? God is not a promise breaker. Amen. When we make a vow unto the Lord, God expects us to keep that vow. And I remember saying, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. God has had to chastise me several times since that matter, because when God calls me into a certain thing and that's maybe not something that I want to do, and I begin to renege just a little bit and say, Lord, I don't think I can do that. And that, I have that memory of when I was praying that altar, Lord, if you'll just fill me with your Spirit, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. God understands that when we make a commitment to Him, we mean that for a lifelong commitment. Amen. Can I get a witness today that people say, I am in it to the end. It doesn't matter what I face. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what comes to pass. I got in this to follow Christ all the way, even unto the end of this life. Because what lies in store is far greater than what we're facing here. Three people seemed willing, but were not fully persuaded to follow Jesus. Are we all in? Are we in it completely? Are we fully persuaded to follow Jesus? Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Can I tell you, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that people are looking for the answer outside of the Word of God. Can I tell you that I'm concerned that people are seemingly more concerned about their flesh than they are about their soul. Yeah. Folks, if we ever needed to congregate, if we ever needed to gather together in one mind and one accord, whether it be in this building or whether it be outside or whether it be in the living room of our home, it is time for true Christians, amen, to rise up, amen, and say, glory to God. No matter what happens, I'm in it for the long run. No matter how many times, glory to God, that the population comes against me, I'm going to stand firm. How many's glad that we're on a solid foundation, that foundation is Jesus Christ Himself. Glory to God. No matter what happens in this world, amen, we can stand firm on the promise that Jesus will not forsake us. But He will in fact be with us all the way, even unto the end. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. The words "so easily beset us" rang in my spiritual mind as I began to read. Promises, commandments, testimonies given in the past somehow pale in our memory when situations come knocking at our door. Things that so easily beset us. How many knows? And I may be preaching right to myself this morning. But if we would spend the same amount or more time in the Word of God than we do on social media, we would probably be stronger for it. Because we hear all of this stuff. And whether or not you realize it or will admit it, it begins to affect our spirit. It begins to affect our attitude. And we begin to think that the whole world is like that. I got news for you. It may look like we're outnumbered. But can I tell you that many, many times the children of God have been outnumbered. Can I tell you that what we're facing may look gigantic in nature, but can I tell you, a little shepherd boy, led by the Spirit of God, faced the giant and won with the help of God. Can I tell you, it looks like the walls are impenetrable. It looks like the walls will never be conquered. But can I tell you, those who have faith in God, amen, can not only march around the walls, but the walls will in fact come tumbling down. I got a feeling. I said, I got a feeling that the remnant is going to rise up. I got a feeling that the true church is not going to get weaker. It's going to get stronger. I got a feeling, amen, that revival is going to break out, not in the world, but in the church. Glory to God. It's time for lukewarm Christians to get on fire for God. It's time to get a whole purpose for following and praising God. His will be done, not our will be done. Peter said, no, Lord. No, this cannot happen. No, Lord, we can't face this. No, Lord, we don't even want to entertain the thoughts. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Are we praying the will of the Father? Are we praying our will? These things must come to pass. And then Judas comes up and betrays him with a kiss. Jesus said, friend, friend. Why? Because Jesus knew His destiny. He knew that in order for you and me today to be able to sit here in this congregation with a born-again experience, with the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives, amen, with our sin and our iniquity forgiven because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the price that He paid on the cross of Calvary, amen, what if He had decided halfway up the hill, this cross is too heavy, I cannot bear it. Satan came against Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and even Jesus said, Father, not my. I pray, Lord, that if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But He quickly followed that up with, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Can I tell you, I look at the news, I hear the things rumbling, and I have to say, Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. Whatever it takes to cause revival in the world, whatever it takes to get the church stirred up, whatever it takes to get the ministers preaching salvation again. I thought this week, you know, it's not time to preach a feel-good message. It's not time to tell us how blessed we are. We know how blessed we are. It's time to tell us we got to pull ourselves up. Amen. We got to shake ourselves as Samson did. Stir up that spirit that is within us. Well, if there was ever a time for churches to band together, it's the day and hour that we're living in. We're in a battle, folks. We're in a confrontation. But how many knows who our King is? He's never lost a battle. He's not going to start losing now. Greater is He that is within me than he that's in the world. Lay aside every weight and sin. Can I get real serious with us this morning? Those of us who have struggled with whatever you want to refer to them as, little things that, little demons that come against us, little things that rise up in our life, and we've prayed and prayed and prayed and tried to get victory over it. Now is the time to get victory over it. Amen. Listen, we need to be sold out to following Christ, regardless of what happens. We don't need to say, Lord, I'll follow you if. Just say, Lord, I'll follow you always. Amen. Church, we've been so blessed over the years. Things have been so wonderful. Amen. We're going through some trying times now. But I read in the Word of God, that's when the church grew the most. Amen. That's when they grew the most. Amen. When persecution and trials and tribulations begin to attack the church. And I got news for you. Not only am I hearing people say, look like the end is near. I believe Satan knows the end is near. And that's the reason he's coming against us with everything that he's got. But how many knows? We're going to be victorious. We are victorious in Jesus. There is victory in Jesus. Amen. I decided to follow him a long time ago. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning back. Amen. Too many miles behind me. Too many rivers I've crossed. Too many mountains I've climbed. Too many miracles I've witnessed. Too many souls I've seen be born again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, for the privilege of being born again. For receiving your Holy Spirit into my life. Because, folks, I got news for you. If I didn't have the Spirit of God, I couldn't make it. I would be a mess without the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God. There's just so much going on. But folks, I don't want you to get disheartened. I don't want you to throw your hands up and quit. Amen. Time to throw your hands up and receive victory. Glory to God. Come on, Moses, get your hands up. When you let your hands down, they begin to lose the battle. Amen. What did two brothers say? Look at Moses. He can't even hold his hands up. No, they went and helped him. And they rose his hands up. And every time his hand was up, amen, the battle began to be won again. Church, get your hands up. Born again Christian, get your hands up. Glorify God. Lift up your head. Glory to God. Look toward Jesus. He will make a way because he is the way. He is the way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lay aside. Lay aside every weight. Every weight. Every problem. Every little thing that begins to beset us. Every sin that so easily besets us. I'm tired of the devil saying, oh, everybody else is doing it. Tired of the devil saying, oh, the Lord loves you. He don't care if you do this or not. Yes, He does love us. But He's also given us guidelines that we must follow. Praise God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I didn't start this race to give up. Didn't start this race to quit. Has it been hard? Sure, it's been hard. Been difficult at times, but I will assure you the blessings far outweigh the trials. And wait till you see. Wait till you see what the Lord has prepared for His followers, for those who remain true, those who would turn an eye to the controversy and trials and tribulations of this life and to keep their eyes on Jesus. Amen. I'll try to close with this. Several years ago when my daddy-in-law was sick, he always had a garden, a good garden. He was very, very good at providing and having a garden, and I was a novice to say the least. And he plowed his garden with a little tiller, and I had tilled it up, and then he had this little plow attachment that you hook on the back of the tiller to make the rows. And I was feeling pretty good about the rows until he came out and looked at the rows and sort of done like that, done like that. And I stood back and I looked at him and he said, "Got just a few curves in it." And I thought, well, that'd be all right. And he let me know, "You're looking at the wrong thing, son. You got your hand down, and you're not looking at the goal. Come on." He said, "You get you a fixed point at the end of the garden. And you don't go to the left or the right. You plow a straight row." Can I tell you that applies to a spiritual walk with the Lord? Too many times the churches was looking down. "Oh Lord, what am I going through?" Set your eyes and set your focus on the goal. Amen. And my goal is to make heaven my home. Amen. How about you? Am I going to see you there? No matter what you face, no matter how many problems, am I going to see you there? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask our music if they would come. I started to sing this song a while ago, but I want to sing it if I can. Amen. Because truly, heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Praise God. Not only because so many of our loved ones are there, but mainly because Jesus is there. Amen. Can we just worship the Lord for just a little bit? Now, I don't know how long ago this song was written. I don't know what was going through the author's mind as he wrote it. But it's so timely for the things that we face today. Life has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. But I'm weary from the struggle of it all. So I listen, how I listen for His call. Heaven sounded sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. I know it's hard to lose a loved one to the grave. Have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe every tear from our eyes when we meet in that land beyond the sky. You got somebody already over there, sing it with me. Heaven sounded sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday thank you.
heaven, you sounded sweeter all the time.
Gracious Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your many, many blessings, for salvation, for this group that's gathered here today. Father, thank you for the promise that we have a better place to go to and how our heart longs for that time. But until then, Lord, give us grace to stand. God, give us strength to endure. Pray, God, your blessing upon each and every one here today, God, under the sound of my voice. If there be one here who's not made that commitment to be a true follower of you, Lord, pray, God, that this will be the day that they make that dedication unto you. God, if they've not accepted you, if they've not been filled with your Spirit, God, do not let them leave this place today without coming to this altar of repentance, God. You're a merciful God. You're a Savior. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for that. We ask you now, Lord, to be with us in every way, in every direction, in every decision that we make. We'll give you the blessing. We give you the honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. While every head is still bowed, every eye closed, this altar is open. If you have a need this morning, please come. If you don't know Jesus, please, please come. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Is there one this morning? Glory to God.